Record and we're going. Tonight's talk is entitled, Does God Heal Today? That's not a yes or no question, by the way. We have more than just that. But of course, the answer is yes, and we want to talk about that tonight. And I find Nikki's explanations, and Nikki Gumbel is the chief author of Alpha. I find his explanations and his stories really good, and so I just tend to channel him, if that's okay. So when you hear, if I don't attribute these to him, these are all from him. And this is the first story that Nikki tells as he begins this talk. 2 years ago, I had a double hip replacement operation. It was entirely my fault, basically. I'd worn out the old hips, too much sport. So this is how they explained it to me. Well, they cut you open first, and then they yank open the hip, and then it's basically like carpentry. They have this kind of electric saw, and they chop it off, and then they have a hammer, and they put in the new one, and then they shove it back in and sew you up and turn you over and do the other side. And apparently it's a very noisy affair. So this one guy showed up at the hospital to have the operation, and he heard this electric saw running and this hammering going on, and so he had this look of terror on his face. And the nurse tried to reassure him. She said, "It's okay, we're just doing some remodeling in the room next door." And anyway, it's a great operation and it works. And the point of the story is I'm really thankful to the doctors and nurses and the medical profession because they're such a blessing. And I believe that all healing ultimately comes from God, because the surgeons are using their God-given ability. And the healing process that takes place after those things have been shoved into your body, that's a natural healing process. It's a God-given healing process within the body. And so I'm grateful also for all the advances in science. I mean, think in the last 100 years, life expectancy has doubled. And I think of all the advances in pain relief. And yet, as you look around, there is still so much sickness, pain and suffering and hurt in our world. And Nikki continues with this story. Before I was a Christian, he came to faith late in life, actually. Obviously, the question, does God heal today, was a non-question. I didn't believe in God. Anyway, I would have thought, you know, why would God directly heal one person? But then, what about all the other millions of people who also need healing? Why would he heal one person and not all the rest? It seemed very strange, that idea, and rather random. And then even after I became a Christian, and I read about Jesus healing people, and the disciples healing people, I didn't have much expectation that God would want to heal people directly today. Then, back in 1982, this American pastor, John Wimber, came to speak in a church. I'll never forget it. He told us about his life. He'd been a rock musician in the 1960s. He'd actually put together the band from which the Righteous Brothers came. And then he'd had a conversion experience, and he'd come to faith in Jesus Christ. He had an encounter with Jesus. And he started reading the Bible. And he read the New Testament. And he read all the stuff, that's what he called it. The stuff that Jesus did. And then the disciples of Jesus did. And that's what he called it, doing the stuff. Healing people. Miracles. And he thought, wow, this is amazing. This is what church is about. So he started going to church. And he was waiting, you know, sitting there through the service thinking, when are they going to do the stuff? Because this is what I've come to watch. I've come to watch people being healed, miracles. And now he was speaking to us as a pastor. And he was saying, this is the kind of thing we ought to do in church. So I sat there. I remember it so well, Sunday night. And then Monday, we were downstairs in the room we call the spring. And we were there with 60 or 70 leaders of the church. And again, he started talking about healing. And then he said, now we're going to do some healing. But before we do some healing, we're going to have some coffee. Well, we'd never done healing, so we had a very long coffee break. And then we came back from coffee. Those people who'd been sitting at the front thought it was a bit selfish to keep the seats at the front, so they all moved to the back. At the weekend, we will look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And there's a list in 1 Corinthians 12, and included in that list is a gift called words of knowledge. And John Wimber's team had been praying at this incident. And he said that his team had had words of knowledge. Now, what these are is these are supernatural revelations of things that were wrong with people that they couldn't have known about naturally. They'd had impressions, pictures, sometimes even sympathy pains. And he read out a whole list, 12 of them. And then he said, now I'm going to ask those people to come forward. The first one was of a man who had injured his back chopping wood with an axe when he was 14 years of age. And to my amazement, a man got up and came down to the front. And then he talked about a number of other things. And each one by one, people came forward. I remember Jeremy Jennings, who's a great friend, he came forward that night for another back condition, and he was healed that night. But there was one that no one had responded to. He said there was someone who'd been trying to conceive a child and hadn't been able to. And that's quite a difficult thing to come forward about, vulnerable. But he waited, and eventually this young woman called Sarah Wright, another great friend, she got up. And we had no idea that she was trying to conceive. But she came to the front, and the team prayed for her. And 9 months later, she gave birth to a little boy. Although conception, I hasten to add, didn't take place there in the spring. But since that, she's had 5 children. So here's the first point. Where is healing in the Bible? What does the Bible actually say about healing? Well, it says that it's in God's nature to heal. God loves us, and he wants us to thrive. He wants us to experience wholeness in our lives. There's a verse in the Old Testament, Exodus 15:26, which says this, I am the Lord who heals you. Jesus came to bind up the brokenhearted. And today, God wants to heal. And he wants to use you and me to bring healing to those who are around us. And you're never more like God than when you're helping hurting people. Think what you can do with your life as you go around dispensing healing, wiping away people's tears, healing the brokenhearted, lifting up those who are fallen, restoring the broken, helping people overcome their addictions, and in this broken, hurting, divided world, being someone who brings healing. There's a verse in Proverbs 15:4, which talks about the tongue that brings healing. With your tongue, you can bring healing to division. You can bring peace, encouragement, and forgiveness. Most of the hurt that we experience in life comes from relationships. And actually, most of our healing also comes through our relationships, with our relationship with God and our relationships with other people. But in the Bible, it's not just emotional health, psychological health, spiritual health. It's all those things, but also there is physical healing. And what I hadn't realized is that actually 25% of the Gospels are taken up with the healing miracles of Jesus. Matthew says this in chapter 4, verse 23. Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. But the thing is this, it wasn't just Jesus. Jesus said to his followers, that's you and me, he gave them authority. He gives us authority. This is not just for special people who are healers. This is for every Christian. He gives authority to go and tell the good news and heal those who are sick. And that's what they did. As you read the book of Acts, they went around healing people. And as you read church history, all the way down the centuries, that's what you see. And still today, God is healing people. So that's the second point. How is God healing people today? And here's another story from Nikki. I think about an occasion a few years ago when I was standing here, and I noticed someone I didn't recognize coming into Alpha one evening. It was a woman in her 60s. Turns out that her name was Jean Smith. And I went up to her and I introduced myself. And we started chatting. And she told me her story. And when she told me her story, I said, wow, I'd really like you to come up and tell that to everyone here. And so I asked her to come up to the front, and she did, and I just interviewed her. And she said this, 16 and a half years ago, I went blind. I had a disease in the retinas of my eyes, and it was inoperable. The doctors told her that she would never see again. She went totally blind. She had a white stick. She had a guide dog named Tina. And she went on an Alpha course. She didn't really want to go on Alpha because they were doing it by video. And she thought, I'm not even going to be able to see the videos. But she went anyway. And then she went on the Alpha weekend. And on the weekend, she had an experience of the Holy Spirit. She had also been in a lot of pain in her eyes. And the pain disappeared. And she was so thankful to God that on the Sunday evening, after the weekend, she went to church. And she wanted to thank God for taking away the pain. And the minister came and he anointed her with oil as a sign of the healing that had taken place. And then she went to wipe away the oil. And when she did that, she could see the communion table in front of her. She went home that night and she saw her husband for the first time in 16 and a half years. She said she couldn't believe how gray he'd become. She'd never seen her daughter-in-law. She'd never seen her 6 and a half year old grandson. And her grandson used to lead her around the puddles. And when he saw that she could see, he said to her, "Who did that, Gran?" And she said, "Jesus made me better." And he said, "Did you thank him for it?" And she said, "I've never stopped thanking him." But of course, not everyone is healed. Nikki says, "I also have a very good friend called Patrick. He's got total kidney failure. And he tried having a transplant. His mother gave one of her kidneys. That didn't work. And he's on dialysis. He's been on dialysis for 25 years. He passionately believes in healing. He gives this talk on Alpha. Sometimes he gives it in his local church. And yet God has not healed him. We've all prayed for him so much. But what Patrick said is this. He says, God has given me salvation and eternal life. I'd love for him to heal me. And if he does, that would be a bonus." We have a little video clip for you now.
And a lovely assistant.
I'm always going to ask for help.
Absolutely.
This also illustrates the point.
That's different.
Wait a minute.
It's James.
Yep. You should wait for your lovely assistant. There you go.
Master. Petro James. May I have a moment? Of course. I am... Forgive me, I'm not always confident to speak. Slow to speak. It's a very good quality. Wanted to ask you a question, please. So you're sending us out with the ability to heal the sick and lame. Yes, that is what you said.
Yes.
So you're telling me that I have the ability to heal. Forgive me, I just find that difficult to imagine with my condition, which you haven't healed.
Do you want to be healed?
Yes, of course, if that's possible.
I think you've seen enough to know it's possible.
Then why haven't you?
Because I trust you.
What?
Little James. Precious little James. I need you to listen to me very carefully. Because what I'm going to say defines your whole life to this point and will define the rest of your life. Do you understand? In the Father's will, I could heal you right now. And you'd have a good story to tell, yes?
Yes, that you do miracles.
And that's a good story. But there are already dozens who can tell that story. And there will be hundreds more, even thousands. But think of the story that you have, especially in this journey to come, if I don't heal you. To know how to proclaim that you still praise God in spite of this. To know how to focus on all that matters, so much more than the body. Show people that you can be patient with your suffering here on earth because you know you'll spend eternity with no suffering. Not everyone can understand that. How many people do you think the Father and I trust this with? Not many.
But the others, there's so much more.
So much more what?
I don't know. Stronger? Better at this?
James, I love you. But I don't want to hear that ever again.
I know how easy it is to say the Song of David. That I fearfully and wonderfully made. But it doesn't make this any easier. And in this group, it doesn't make me feel like any less of a burden.
A burden? First of all, it is far easier to deal with your slow walking than it is to deal with Simon's temper.
Trust me.
Are you fast? Do you look impressive when you walk? Maybe not. But these are things the Father doesn't care about. More for me than most people ever dream. So many people need healing in order to believe in me. Or they need healing because their hearts are so sick. That doesn't apply to you. And many are healed or not healed because the Father in heaven has a plan for them which may be a mystery. And we remember what Job said. The Lord gives. And the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When you pass from this earth, and you meet your father in heaven, where Isaiah promises you will leap like a deer, your reward will be great. Hold on a little longer. And when you discover yourself finding true strength because of your weakness, and when you do great things in my name, in spite of this, the impact will last for generations. Do you understand?
Yes.
You healing others. Oh, what a sight. I can't wait to hear your stories when you return.
Shalom, my son. Shalom.
And James. Remember.
And when someone is healed, when Jean Smith was healed of her blindness, that's a foretaste. What it tells us is what it's going to be like in the future, and that the future is coming. But right now, we don't experience total healing. So what about healing today? If God calls you into the medical profession, that's a great calling. Hospitals, actually, if you look at the roots of hospitals, it goes back to Christian institutions, which were set up on the belief that people matter to God because they're made in His image. And historically, hospitals were often founded by Christian orders and funded by Christian donors. So God sometimes heals people explicably through the medical profession, but sometimes He heals people inexplicably and directly. And so we shouldn't stop praying, especially when the medical profession can do no more. And Nikki tells this story. I think of a time when I was on the squash court, and I got a call to go to the Brompton Hospital and go and pray for a baby. And it was quite urgent. So literally, I arrived at the hospital in my squash gear with my squash racket. And the mother of this baby took a bit of convincing that I was a Christian minister and that I was the right person, even though I was the assistant chaplain at the Brompton Hospital at the time. But I managed to convince her. And I heard this story. She had three children. She was heavily pregnant with a fourth child. Her third child had Down syndrome, was 18 months old, and had a hole in his heart. There'd been an operation, but the operation had not been successful, and the child was dying. And basically, the hospital had asked her three times whether they could switch the machines off and allow the child to die. And she said, no. She said, I'm not a believer, but I want someone to come and pray. So I arrived at the hospital, and she explained to me that she wasn't a Christian. She didn't have any faith, but she still wanted me to go and pray. So I went, and the little boy called Craig, he was covered in tubes, and I just prayed in the name of Jesus for him to be healed. And then, actually, she wanted to give her life to Christ. And we prayed a prayer where she gave her life to Christ then and there. I left the hospital. 2 days later, I went back to see how she was. And as I went in, she came rushing up to me. She said, "It's amazing. After you prayed, he completely turned a corner. He has recovered. He's still got Down syndrome, but he's recovered, and he's going to be okay." And a few days later, he went home. Now, that was not the placebo effect. That wasn't the power of positive thinking. You know, there's absolutely no way that that was auto-suggestion. This was a baby. And I've kept in touch with that family, and Craig is like the glue that holds the whole family together. He's an amazing guy. But his mother said to me, I remember on that occasion, she went around telling all her friends and family, "I didn't believe, but now I do." Now, of course, we've prayed for many people who haven't been healed. And as John Wimber used to say, when we prayed for no one, no one was healed. Now we pray for everyone, and some are healed. And that brings us to the third point. How do we heal? So in practice, how do we go about it? Of course, it's God who heals and not us. None of us have healing up our sleeves. There should be no need for hype or shouting. There's no special technique involved. Jesus always prayed with love. He had compassion. That was his motive. And that should be our motive. We don't put burdens on people. We never say, "It's your fault. You didn't have enough faith." If someone's not healed, it doesn't mean that God doesn't love them or that God is punishing them, obviously. So we pray with love. And we found that these words of knowledge, these gifts of the Spirit, they really help. Sometimes it's a mental picture, an impression. We believe God will give people words of knowledge, pictures, impressions, or sympathy pains. And Nikki tells this story. Just a few months ago, I remember on Alpha, we were going into our small group time. And there was a guy in the group who was a middle-aged banker who had hardly said anything during the group. But on this occasion, he said, "I'm having palpitations in my heart." And I thought, oh my goodness, this was a talk about healing. We didn't want to give you palpitations in your heart. He said, no. I know there's nothing wrong with me. I think it's for someone else. So once we had sat down with the small group, he described what he was feeling, that he was having these palpitations. And someone in the small group called Stephanie said, "Yeah, that's me." She said, "I'm having palpitations now. I've had them for years." And so we prayed for her, and she was healed. They stopped. And at the end of the course, she stood up and she told people what had happened to her. It's always a bit of a risk. Faith is spelled R-I-S-K. It's a risk giving out words of knowledge, and it's a risk responding to them. And Nikki says, "I'm very shy and reserved, and I feel kind of vulnerable either giving them out or responding to them. One time at the end of the evening, there were words of knowledge, and I had just had a cartilage operation on my knee. And it was about several weeks later, and I was having real problems, and it was swelling up again. I thought I might even need another operation. Someone came up, and they gave these words saying, 'A right knee.' And I thought, well, there could be lots of people here with a right knee problem. Then someone else came up, and they also said, 'A right knee.' And then a third person, 'A right knee.' And then a fourth person said, 'A right knee.' And then the person giving the talk said, 'You know, those who want to be healed, would you like to stand?' I didn't stand. I wasn't going to stand because I was leading the course. I didn't feel it was appropriate for me to stand. Then we went down into the small group. And again, people were asked, 'Anybody respond?' I didn't say anything. We prayed for one or two people, and then we broke into groups of three. And I was with a couple of guests in the small group, and one of the guests turned to me and said, 'Did you respond to any of those words of knowledge?' And I was about to lie and say no. And And I thought, I can't do that. I had to admit, yes. Yes, I do have a bad right knee. So she said, shall we pray? And they prayed. And since that day, 15 years ago, I've had no problems with my right knee. So I want to encourage us to keep going. It's just a very simple model. We lay hands on people. We ask the Holy Spirit to come. One of the things we found is sometimes you need to pray more than once. You know, Jesus prayed once for a man who was blind. He laid hands on him, and he said, how are you doing? And the man said, well, I can see, but it looks like trees walking. So he laid hands on him again, and then he could see clearly. So don't give up. Even if you're not healed, prayer is a blessing. Nikki continues, I told you earlier about what happened on the Monday night down in the spring when John Wimber came. On the Tuesday night, he came and spoke in Church House, this time to everyone who was in a small group at the time. We were a much smaller church at that time. There were about 250 people there. I was practicing as a barrister at the time, and I arrived from court in a three-piece pinstripe suit, stiff white collar and tie, and my wife Pippa and I were late. And in the Anglican church, you know, we fill up from the back. So, as we were the last people to arrive, there were only two seats left, right at the front. So we went and sat right at the front. And again, John Wimber talked about healing. And again, there were various words of knowledge at the end. And a number of people stood. He then said, there are 10 people here who have athlete's foot. Now, I happen to have athlete's foot, but I was not going to stand up. 9 people stood. And my wife, Pippa, was going like this. I was going, no, no, no. Eventually, the pain in my ribs became so severe that I thought, I better stand up. And this very nice American on the ministry team came over and said, would you like for me to pray for your athlete's foot? So I said, no, thank you very much indeed. I'm perfectly happy having athlete's foot. So he was very kind. He said, well, is there anything else I could pray for? So I said, well, I'd really love to pray for the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. And he said, okay, we'll pray for that. And he started to pray. All I can say is that after 30 seconds, I experienced in a physical way, it's not always like this for everyone, but for me, it was a physical manifestation of the power of God. It was like 10,000 volts of electricity going through my body. In fact, it was so powerful, I couldn't take any more. And now I think this American had just joined the ministry team because he only had one prayer that he prayed, and it was, more power, Lord. And every time he prayed this prayer, the power increased. So eventually, I didn't know what to do. I thought, the only thing I could do is pray against it. So I started praying, no more power, Lord. Because he only had this one prayer. He carried on, more power. So eventually there was a shouting match going on between the two of us. I think John Wimber had had difficult people in his meetings before because he said, take that one out. And as I was being carried out through the French doors of Church House, he said, God is giving to that man the ability to tell people about Jesus. And I've often looked back at that moment because it was a very significant moment for me. Since then, in the last 33 years, Pippa and I have tried to tell people about Jesus. And we've tried to bring healing wherever we go. And I wasn't healed of my athlete's foot that night. It did clear up. But it was an amazing thing. I'm so glad I was prayed for. It was an amazing experience. And in the last 33 years, I've tried to do those things because I believe that God uses us today to heal people. He wants to use you to heal people. And my encouragement to you is to tell people about Jesus. to try and be a person who brings healing wherever you go. In your family, in your workplace, in your community. Be someone who prays for the sick, who binds up the brokenhearted, who wipes away people's tears, who lifts up the fallen, who brings healing where there's division, and in fact, brings healing wherever they go, in Jesus' name.